Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, who is at work among us this day. Amen. "We Are Called" was the last song sung at my brother-in-law's funeral on Tuesday, as we were gathered there at about minute 97. It was a long one. Those pastor parades and everything that gets involved with the pastor's funeral. But thank you all for the gift of this week and for caring for each other. Thank you to my friend and colleague, Pastor Bob Chell, for providing pastoral care for those in need and for the opportunity to go be with my family and to do that good and necessary work. Because of that, I got back yesterday. You're off the hook. It's going to be short. Okay? First two things. What we're doing through this season, remember, is what we're calling Journey to Jerusalem. So we've taken the lectionary from the middle of June to the middle of November and squeezed it together so that we're done with it on the last Sunday in August. That lectionary is the chunk where Jesus in the Gospel of Luke had set his face toward Jerusalem and toward the cross. And so we are moving through that journey as Jesus shaped and formed his disciples as he made his way along that path. Today, we are picking up a chunk of scripture that does, I think, at its heart, two quick things. The first thing is to remind us who God is. That God is the God of Luke chapter 1, of Mary's song, of turning the world right side up, of lifting the oppressed, the needy, the vulnerable, the weak, and giving them a place of priority and privilege, of care, of freedom, of life, and of hope. That's the first thing to hear in this text. The second is to hear, and we'll talk a little later about one of my favorite historical figures, John Lewis. Sometimes we have to get into good trouble. Sometimes we have to do what is right and not necessarily what is legal, right? So, these two chapters. We talked a little about this chunk of Luke. It's not terribly well organized. If you look at the other Gospels, there is a kind of clear flow in what's trying to be accomplished here. We're just in a rush to get to Jerusalem, and there are about five little places that remind us that Jesus is on the road as he traveled, when he went on his way throughout these 10 chapters. Otherwise, it's just these kind of snippets that we can pick up and handle individually. This week, we are handling the beginning of a twin set. Chapter 13 and chapter 14 are structured almost identically to each other. They start out with a healing on the Sabbath. They then have a chunk of teaching material. And then at the end of them, "Woe to you, Jerusalem, you unrepentant city." And for those of you who want to come with me, know that it means that you must die. Right? That's what these chapters do. We're looking, though, at the first chunk, the healing on the Sabbath. So if you're a person who, like me, wants to mark up your Bible, there are a few words and things to notice as you go through. First, of course, it is a Sabbath healing. That locates us in time and place where Jesus was. And being a faithful Jew, where was he? He was at the synagogue, doing what he did, worshiping, as he did on those Sabbath days. The next thing to notice in this particular text is the woman. There's a parallel in 14, and Luke did that a lot, where he would talk about a woman and then talk about a man. And it was those who had power and control and those who did not, and Luke holding them up and balancing those scales again and again. In this text, you get a woman, then you get Jesus addressing woman, and then toward the end, that phrase, a daughter of Abraham. So she goes from nameless, right, with just an article, just a woman, to that one who is blessed and chosen as the people of God, right? Elevated and prioritized throughout that. Then you have the interaction with the leader of the synagogue, and then the miracle. And the miracle's not the point, so there's not much of it. Sometimes in the Gospels you get a lot of explanation of what Jesus was up to, but that wasn't what he was, what this was all about. This was about what comes at the end. The conflict between the synagogue leader and Jesus, in which he uses a very traditional rabbinical tool called arguing from the underneath, or arguing from the bottom. That is to take the ox, which he did in both chapters, and say, if you would do it for the ox, why wouldn't you do it for the person? To unbind, to set free the ox so that they might have the living water that is necessary. Of course, then you would do that for the person. The hinge, the whole thing, relies on this three-letter word in Greek. Dei is that word, and it means something like it's necessary or it must be. And the difference, the trick here in this text, is that it starts with the synagogue leader saying, the work must be done on the 6 days. And Jesus saying, you don't understand the character and nature of God. You're good at the law. I don't dispute that. But God is the one who sets free, who heals, who offers life. And so it is necessary to do that even on the Sabbath. It's that difference between saying, hey, I'm a good lawyer, and hey, I'm a good person. Right? That's the trick there. Or, as Boston College theologian and professor David Shnasa Jacobson says, Jesus isn't trying to upset the cart of Judaism. The law is good. That's not the problem. The problem is that God's purpose is to heal, to liberate, to unbind. And the leader of the synagogue has missed that purpose. So, one of my heroes. If you know much about Representative Lewis, you know that he was a person who stood for justice and for freedom. He was there on Bloody Sunday in March of 1965 in Selma, Alabama. He was 27 at that point. And he, in 1987, began more than 30 years of service in the United States House of Representatives. And he was committed to nonviolent ways of pursuing justice. He was committed to ways of seeking what is right for those who were the least of these. He was committed to living his faith every day, knowing that progress would often be so glacially slow, and we would take steps back before we would take steps forward. So I give you Representative Lewis because I want to give you first the gospel, the good news that we heard this morning, and then the law. The good news is that our God is a God who comes to unbind, to set free, to give life to those who have none, to turn the world right side up. And I think for lots of us, that doesn't happen very often. That we need that. I should say, us white men. But as you look around the room, there are still a lot of women in our midst. There are a lot of children in our midst. There are people of color in our midst. There are folks from the LGBTQ+ community in our midst. And to each and every one, and at that moment when they need it most, the good news of this text is that our God does not care about the rules, but cares instead about justice and hope, life and love. And then there's the law. And the law is that if Jesus is getting into good trouble, we have to as well. If Jesus is standing against those rules that block justice and reconciliation, redemption and hope for all, we have to as well. If Jesus is willing to look at that synagogue leader and say, you don't understand what is necessary for God. It is God's very character to heal, to unbind, to proclaim life for all. Then we, as followers of that one, must do the same. There is good news when we need it. And there is law for every day. Together, let's get in good trouble. Amen.